Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Apartment Investing for Early Retirement. Today's guest is Nico Salgado. For the past 16 years, Nico has been a Spanish teacher in New York. One problem that he has seen in our educational system is the lack of preparation for life after school, which includes a lack of financial literacy. Not everyone fits the same mold of a 9-to-5 job, and Nico feels passionate about helping others find their own path. Because of this desire, Nico founded his real estate investing company, Small Axe Communities, with the premise of creating a more financially literate society. The goal is to teach people how to accumulate assets that produce income rather than working for money. Coming from a diverse background, Nico has found success by sharpening his small axe, which allowed him to accomplish his biggest goals. Nico is proof that it only takes a small axe to build a lasting empire. Nico, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, Derek, how's it going? Thanks so much for having me, man.
Oh, it's going well. Why don't we just jump in, talk about how you've been able to really get your name out there. And I know in the community that we're both involved in, you have quite the reputation. You're always putting your name out there. You're always providing info. And, you know, it's something that is you really need to do to get out there and have success. So I thought it'd be fantastic to dig into that a little bit. But before we get into some other questions, would you mind just giving the listeners a little bit of your background for, you know, why you're pursuing multifamily?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So, look, we're all looking for some financial freedom. I came to the conclusion, you know, before I signed up with the Jake and Gino team, that after looking at my retirement, looking at what I was going to be getting, what I was going to be earning for retirement, it just wasn't cutting it, man. You know, because a certain lifestyle is really what we're all after retirement. And if we're not on top of it now, before we retire, we're going to end up short. And I realized I know exactly how much I'm going to make by, you know, with my W-2 as a teacher. I know how much money I'm putting in, how much money I'm allowed to put into my retirement, and what I'll be getting afterwards. So even if I were to max out my retirement fund, you know, it just wouldn't be enough to sustain the lifestyle that I want to live. And I decided, you know, I went through like a full year probably of just thinking what else I can do to kind of like hedge against that just terrible loss during, you know, my retirement, because I want to be available for my family. I want to be available for my daughter. I want to provide them with things still. And I just want to live a good life of travel and basically do what I want to do. So the income that I would be earning, the pension that I would be earning, the retirement that I would have, you know, if I were to just stick to my W-2, wasn't going to cut it. It wasn't going to be substantial enough for me to really live the life I want to live. So I then spent a good amount of time, like I said, about a year, just thinking of different things that I can do, different ways to earn income. And I realized that, you know what, when I'm older, I'm going to have probably less energy. You know, hopefully I'll have more, but I figured in realistically, I'll probably have less energy. So I want something that's more passive, you know, and a lot of people, I came across the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he talks about how, you know, you want to buy assets, things that are going to be, you know, producing money for you. And really that's what led me into real estate itself. And from there, I looked at a ton of different properties. I started just like most people looking at single family, because of the fact that it was more, you know, accessible, or I guess there was a lower barrier to entry. And I decided, why don't I start with single family? But, you know, soon after I did buy one, I bought one single family residence that's actually not here. It's in Nicaragua, and it's a great experience. You know, it was a new development and everything. And I have it now up as an Airbnb, but I realized that I'm going to have to continually bring 20% to the table and to buy another one, you know, and it just wasn't going to be something sustainable. So after, you know, looking at a ton of houses and then even considering duplexes, triplexes, and quads, I couldn't find anything that was really fitting the bill here in New York. I decided to look elsewhere and really just searching on BiggerPockets and other communities and listening to podcasts. I came across Jake and Gino. And when I came across the Jake and Gino framework, you know, buy right, manage right, finance right, where they're looking at mom and pop, you know, apartments, you know, it was kind of perfect timing for me because I had just read, you know, the Burr strategy by David Green. And I was like, you know what? This is a bigger scale of the Burr method. You know, you can get into multifamily and you can, you know, kind of do the same thing, fix up the property, refinance, get your money out and do it again and do it again. And that seemed like a more sustainable thing to me. So that's where I got into the multifamily, you know, space. But I did have very many limiting beliefs, thinking that it wasn't possible. And I did have, you know, reservations about doing it and just some fear as well. But, you know, once I spoke with, you know, the guys from Jake and Gino, like Dylan, who onboarded me, and then Josh, you know, I just, from the first few conversations, the vibe was like, Nico, you can do this. And I felt a team of support and I just felt all around good. And I said, and my wife was actually on that call with me, and she said, go to that, you know, buy right boot camp. This is like 2 days before the boot camp. I had no plane ticket. You know, it was down in Atlanta. I'm up in New York. And she said, you got to go, because we'd spoken to Josh and Josh was just so enthusiastic and excited about it. I said, absolutely, I'm going to go. So I ended up, you know, getting a flying standby. I didn't make it down there until, you know, Saturday night. It was supposed to be from Friday, Saturday to Sunday, but I ended up getting there, you know, nonetheless, and I had such an amazing time and I met so many people that it really, from those, you know, few days, just from signing up with Jake and Gino, completely turned my world around. And I've been like engulfed in this whirlwind of just momentum and moving forward ever since.
Yeah. You know, when you get around the right people and, you know, have conversations, it really gets you going and gets you to take some action. But, you know, with your, those limiting beliefs that you had, you know, would you mind touching on those and how, you know, you kind of mentioned with those conversations that, you know, Josh and Dale help you like, okay, I can do it, but, you know, it seems for many people, you can kind of fall back on those after, you know, you have a little ooh, rah, rah after you're at something. How did you get over those limiting beliefs and, you know, kind of keep moving forward to get this process started?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. And I've been thinking about this a lot recently because, you know, as I'm talking to investors and possible investors, what barriers are they seeing? And with me, there was something that I already had that gave me an advantage. And that was that I was already sold on the fact that real estate is a good means, you know, for achieving financial freedom, being able to retire early, being able to support your family. And I was already convinced on real estate. Nobody had to convince me of that. So the limiting beliefs that I had were that I can't buy multifamily real estate. I don't have enough money. You know, I was also very insecure in my approach with how to talk to brokers. I was insecure in the fact that I didn't know if I could work with people as a partnership, because everything that I've done, you know, in my prior work and business has been basically alone. And now, you know, being that multifamily is such a team sport, you really have to open up and let people in and partner with people. And that was another one of my limiting beliefs. But, you know, going back to what you said, if we're trying to bring on investors and bring on people that we think, you know, could succeed or partner with us in this multifamily space, I feel that it would be a huge, huge thing to overcome if they already believe in real estate as the vehicle, right?
And just being able to show that, you know, when you know the power that's there, and, you know, with you being a teacher, I feel like that's such a benefit too, is being able to communicate that to people, is, you know, to educate on the power that it has. And, you know, a lot of the things, like you mentioned, you know, not being comfortable, you know, reaching out to brokers, or, you know, I can't buy it, I don't have the money for it. Well, that's simple. You find the people that do and you partner with them, you know. But if you don't know up front, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And once you kind of find the ways to remedy that, it really gets quite simple. It's a simple, you know, proposition here with investing in real estate and making money. Obviously, you need to know what to look out for. You need to know the right things to do. But, you know, I feel like so many people just get overwhelmed by the process, and you have those right conversations, you know. So for you, I wouldn't know that you had any, you know, struggles in calling brokers. The way that you carry yourself, you know, you can change that mindset. I say this because I've considered myself a chronic introvert my whole life, but to get out of it, you know, you got to get a little uncomfortable, but, you know, you work through things, you become, you know, that beacon now as a point of knowledge, a point where people can go to you and, you know, hey, if I don't know the answer, I'm going to find the answer for you. But this is what I know can happen with, you know, with multifamily investing. But, you know, to have those conversations, you really kind of have to have a plan of where you're going to invest. And, you know, being from New York, it might be a little bit more limiting there. So I know that obviously you look down in focusing on Tampa, but how did you go about that process, you know, in picking an out-of-state market and to kind of get those, that groundwork for setting up a team there?
Wow. Yeah. Well, first of all, some great points there. I mean, we really, you don't know what you don't know, right? And just having that support system from Jake and Gino really, really helped everything along my, you know, with my journey so far, because there were times when I was just clueless and I would have been at a standstill or just not moving forward. So being able to lean on the more experienced people that we have access to in the Jake and Gino community has really been instrumental in keeping that momentum going. So, you know, as far as from when I started 8 months ago to now, it's just the growth has been seriously immense. You know, whereas in the past when I was trying to go at it on my own, you know, I just wasn't progressing nearly at the pace that I am now. And, you know, getting back to your question about the market, how did I choose the market? Well, so I had a conversation with Gino and we spoke about my goals and stuff like that. But then we also spoke about how I'm going to get into the multifamily space. And, you know, he said, there's different ways to do it. Some people target various markets, and to target various markets is one means of, you know, finding a lot of deals and finding the best deal. But if I can focus specifically on one market, you know, that can be hugely beneficial for me personally, because then I can be responsible for putting a deal together. And if I don't have much capital, you know, to put in, I can be the person that either puts the deal together or finds equity. So now by me focusing exclusively on one market, that has afforded me the ability to really get to build a strong, solid network in that market, to really get access to a good number of deals. And I've even gotten deals, you know, pushed across my table that are prior to becoming, you know, being on market. So just by continually having that relationship with brokers, visiting the place various times and seeing brokers, you know, face to face, talking to property managers, that has afforded me the ability to be seen as somewhat as a professional in that area. Now, for the other people who are looking in various markets, right, they now have, you know, when they focus their sights on Tampa, where I'm looking, they ask people who is the go-to guy in Tampa. And they just, you know, I've been mentioned to them. So then those people reach out to me looking to partner with me to get those inside deals, to get the good deals, to get the broker relationships that they haven't built yet. So if you're looking to get into different markets, you know, you want to get in with somebody who's been there for a while and already done the groundwork so that you can get in quickly. Otherwise, you know, my approach is to focus exclusively on a market until I land a deal or a few deals. Now, that approach is, like I said, is going to afford me to put the deal together and then get into the deal with little to no capital down if I can't access any capital at the time.
Yeah. And, you know, again, there's many different avenues that people can go. There's different strategies for it, but yeah, to be that point of knowledge, to be that, you know, both in the knowledge of the people to go to, the property management, you know, the way the service providers, just having already that credibility with brokers to get those off-market deals and just kind of have that leg up. You know, I think that's really important, is to be able to know the ins and outs of a market. And especially when you're new into the industry or new into a city, it takes a lot of work. So, you know, then people, like you mentioned, people will come to you. So, and I think, you know, being able to master that market, you know, having the knowledge of all those components is a huge benefit to it. And, you know, how did you kind of go about making that action plan? Like, okay, I need to talk to, you know, these people for this, you know, how'd you kind of find the brokers, the management, you know, stuff like that? How'd you kind of put together that action plan for, hey, I'm going to be the point of contact for people that are in this group that are looking to go to Tampa?
A great question. You know, so a lot of, just like everybody who starts out, you know, you reach out to brokers and you get stonewalled and you don't, you know, you try and reach out, and they're not giving you any information. They're not calling you back. And what I did was I researched, you know, there's some top guys in each market that you can find that have the majority of the listings, right? Now, what I did is I consistently and constantly reached out to them, and I didn't think it would take so long, you know, but it did. It took me months to really gain some sort of traction and some sort of credibility with these brokers. Now, it wasn't just like I called them up and left them a message. What I would do is in my calendar every Monday, I would call brokers. Every Tuesday, I would call property managers, and I would follow up with emails throughout the week. But on my first call, if I got a response, or my first email rather, if I got a response from a broker or a property manager, that means that they were somewhat engaged. So I sent them my, what's called that one pager that we've been working on in the Jake and Gino community, that explained really, so they didn't even have to call me or contact me, but they can see right away, that would give me some sort of credibility, exactly what I'm looking for, the people that I'm affiliated with, the partners that I'm working with, and show them, you know, that I do mean business and I'm somewhat professional, you know. And I think that one pager really went a long way in getting me access to, you know, building relationships with different brokers and property managers. Now, yes, it did still take a while, but that one pager, I think, I feel expedited the process a little bit.
I think, you know, something too is how many other people are doing that? How many others are sending that one pager? You know, you need to do things that others aren't willing to or just aren't doing in order to stand out. Okay, it's, again, that added level of professionalism. You know, you can't just slap that together, you know, in 2 minutes. Now, there's systems that, you know, make it not too difficult to do. You just need to take the time to put it together or pay someone to put it together. Because, again, any little thing you can do to stand out, especially earlier on, is going to just make huge strides down the road. Because how fast can you get those off-market deals? Get access to them. Hey, here's something that, you know, working on right now. Okay, you might not be the first person to get a look at it, but you might be the second, third, or fourth. And that's huge, as opposed to, you know, to get that leg up. And, you know, any little thing to build credibility is paramount, you know, with all aspects, property managers, brokers, lenders, you know, the list goes on and on. You know, do you have some other, you know, points that you've done that have kind of helped to build that credibility, you know, and build up those relationships in addition to the one pager?
Yeah, well, so, you know, I've become really big on adding value. Like, you know, people talk about it a lot, and it's not necessarily something that comes naturally to people, but you really have to want to provide somebody with something. Like, I don't feel comfortable if I'm just asking for things. So what I do is, you know, if I can have somewhat of a conversation on a more human level than a professional level, I get to know a little bit about people, and I tend to, you know, simple things like either bringing up, hey, how's your daughter? How was the baseball game you went to? Goes a very long way. And on top of that, I've even given gifts to people, and just to give something so that I would be top of mind, you know, when things come up, you know, So this one property manager, huge property manager, they have thousands of units. He's such a great guy. And, you know, he mentioned to me that his parents were celebrating their anniversary. And I said, you know what, I'm going to make them a gift, you know, send me their address and I'll make them. And I ended up making them like this wood thing, you know, because I also do woodworking, where I carved their last name into it and sent it right to their house. And they were so happy. So just with that little gesture of, you know, kindness, anything I asked this guy for, and I you know, trust me, I don't like, you know, knock down his door every single day, but anything that I ask him for, like a CoStar report or some advice on a certain property, or even to drive by a property, he, you know, he'll do it for me. He's very happy to do that for me, just because I got to connect with him in a more human way, you know, and I think that really does go a long way.
Yeah, I'd agree. Just with the digital world that we have, well, obviously it's been even more so in the last few months, but, you know, the trend that we were going, it felt like there was a disconnect, you know, those personal interactions. I feel that people really do hold a value to, because it's becoming more and more rare. So you had to do something like that. Now you're not doing it, you know, so that, you know, this manager is going to go drive by a property or give you something, but you know, I want to give back to them. They've helped me. I want to give, and you know, just this whole space, you know, not everyone, but for the most part, is very willing to share knowledge, to help each other out. And especially when you get into a community, you know, we're both very fortunate to be in the Jake and Gino community. It's a wonderful group of people that are truly there to help. There's so much abundance in this industry, so much money to go around, so much, you know, just that, you know, you don't have to, you're not competing against each other. So if we're both looking in Tampa and, you know, it's not, well, I'm competing with Nico for properties. No, hey, we're both looking, you know, is there a way to add value to one another, add value to that team where we're able to, you know, potentially take down some deals together. I add value in this way. I need, you know, I'm not so great at this aspect. Oh yeah, I'm great at, you know, like, again, you just kind of, you do things to help one another. And when you do it without that intention of just gaining something back, I feel it just comes back to you faster and faster. If you help enough people out, you're going to be more than taken care of. So I love that mentality. And I think it's something that I was very pleasantly surprised at once I got into this industry.
Likewise, I wasn't expecting it either. And you know what, that you're right. Not everybody is willing to be open and giving, but for the majority, yes. In multifamily, I've found that to be the case. And yeah, it's just, I like connecting with people. I like learning about them, their personal lives. And then we can actually have a real friendship, you know, aside from the professional relationship that we have.
Yeah. And, you know, just in general to have those friendships, you know, when it comes to the business aspect, people do business with individuals that they like if they enjoy, if they despise being around you, they're not going to want to do business with you. If you are someone that is very likable, you're genuine, people are going to want to work with you. And you know, whether you have that intention of doing business together or just, hey, just here to make a friend, you know, it's something that I feel people can really sense that, and it builds a level of trust and helps that reputation as well. Is just, hey, Nico's an all-around great guy. You know, it's gonna, people just seem to be attracted to that type of personality. So yeah, I love that. Just be genuine, help each other out, you know, help someone out, and you'll find it comes back to you. But yeah, so just to move forward with it, you know, what, obviously with the show Apartment Investing for Early Retirement, the goal is to get people to retirement. Retirement means something different for everyone. What does it mean to you?
Great point. So for this question, I mean, honestly, for me, retirement means working on a job that I still want to do. I don't feel like I'm ever going to stop working. So I'm going to be working, and I intend on working. I enjoy working. I enjoy building, creating things. You know, I enjoy working with people now. I really enjoy connecting, communicating with people. So for me, what my retirement is going to look like and what I'm planning for is to retire from my teaching job within about 4 or 5 years from now. From then, continue to focus exclusively on multifamily investment and investing. And once I gain enough equity and you know, to put down money, I will be a passive investor, but I will be actively looking for passive investments. So I'm never going to stop working. I'm never going to stop, you know, indulging in the multifamily space, but I intend on maybe pulling out of the active role, you know, 10, 15 years from now. But ultimately what I would like to do is retire from teaching and then continue to work my multifamily real estate business.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's being in a position, you know, money doesn't run everything, but you need money to be able to do things that you enjoy. So how can I better utilize that capital and put it to work? And yeah, that's the wonderful thing in real estate, is you can be as active as you want, or you could go the other direction and just invest in deals passively. You get your return, and you know, you're still act like you mentioned, actively searching for the right ones to go into. But then that day to day, you get to go, you know, if you're working on some woodworking, you're going on vacation, you're doing whatever you want. It's just that freedom to choose to what level of involvement. So that's a wonderful plan you have there. And, you know, if I can help you get there any sooner, you just let me know. I'm again, we're a big community here just to help each other out. But, you know, what I know you mentioned Rich Dad Poor Dad, you mentioned, you know, the Jake and Gino, but was there like one thing that comes to mind, whether it was a book that you were reading, an event you went to, or just, you know, this life experience that was like, okay, this is it. I'm taking action. I'm getting into multifamily.
It was really, well, it was really last summer before I joined the Jake and Gino community. I found a project that, you know, it was actually going to be a new development project, and I was trying to go at it alone. And it was such a potentially excellent deal that really got my brain, you know, my gears turning and just thinking of how this could actually be my retirement. But, it, you know, I never went through, and I was never able to do it because I went at it alone. But because I found this opportunity that I thought was going to be this huge, you know, deal, that was really when things started switching for me to look at multifamily rather than a single family.
Nice. And, you know, again, we touched on it, but, you know, how do you really like to give back?
Well, a lot of ways. So part of my daily affirmations are, you know, I write down within 10 years, I'm going to be a philanthropist, you know, and giving back a lot. And I want to build, you know, create a foundation for people and things like that. But, you know, growing up, I didn't grow up in the easiest childhood. I have, I'm one of three kids, and then my mom remarried and she had five other kids. So I'm one of eight siblings, and five of them, you know, they were in and out of foster care, and they really had a difficult childhood. So I would be kind of like their pseudo dad, even though I'm their brother. You know, I'm 10 plus years older than the oldest one. So, you know, for me, just being able to show them the world, to be able to show, you know, teach them life lessons, take them around. I even took one of them to college. I dropped him off in Alaska, and it was kind of like an experience of being a father. I was very young at the time, but, you know, being that father figure to kids that really need that, that's really one way that I give back, you know, and that's part of my plan for philanthropy later, is to help kids that are in foster care and in different shelters and things like that, to provide them with a stable life and a life that they can turn around and become bigger, better people from. Now, on top of that, I also work at a special needs camp throughout the summer. So I work during the school year as a school teacher. I have special programs that I created for kids to do meditation and learn how to describe and talk about their emotions. But then I go to the summer time and I work as a counselor at a special needs camp, and I teach these kids how to surf. So I'm a surf instructor, but I do it specifically at a special needs camp. And I take, you know, it's actually not just kids. It can be from 4 years to like 70 years old. And I take them surfing. You know, we get quadriplegic, paraplegic, we get blind, we get deaf, we get, you know, autistic kids, we get Down syndrome. And I really, really, really enjoy that as well, you know. And it's not necessarily I'm making money from it, but, you know, I get paid, but it's not something that I'm going to live off of, but it's really just for the pleasure and for the, you know, just to give back and just to feel good.
And, you know, again, with your plan, hopefully when you retire from teaching and you're just a multifamily, as you go through, you know, it allows you to take more time for those things that, you know, you're passionate about, and, you know, causes like what you're helping out with now and what you want to be able to build in the future. You know, that's the power, is, you know, to get to that point, obviously you need some money coming in, but a lot of those resources, you're able to do things that help other people. So, you know, making money isn't a bad thing. It's what you do with the money and the freedom that you have to hopefully better bear the lives of, you know, if it's one person, it's one person. If it's 1,000, it's 1,000. You know, just to be able to help help give back, I think, is something that a lot of people want to do, but they might not necessarily have clarity of how to do it. So they hear how other people are helping out and, oh yeah, that sounds like something, you know. So I always like asking that because there's so many ways to do it. And, you know, it's important to share how we're able to go about it to help the community around us. But lastly, how can listeners get in touch with you and find out more about you?
All right, Derek. So the best way to reach out to me would be to check my website. It's www.smallaxecommunities.com. And on there, you can find my blog posts, my podcast, which will be airing pretty soon. You know, today was what, July 29th? My yes. podcast should be airing early August. You can also check, schedule a call with me and just have tons of fun on my website. So that's www.smallaxecommunities.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to be on the show. And I'm sure our listeners will be able to pull a lot from it and hopefully motivate themselves to be able to take the next step and get uncomfortable, kind of like what you had, and, you know, get on that path towards that financial freedom and doing what they love. So thank you very much and take care.
Excellent, Derek. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode of Apartment Investing for Early Retirement. Please be sure to rate and review wherever you listen to podcasts and check us out on Facebook and Instagram. The links will be in the show notes. And if you enjoy the show, please be sure to share it out on social media so that we can reach more and more people to help educate them about the opportunity that multifamily investing provides to help reach their version of retirement sooner than later. Take care, everyone.